Today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, AAA tells us the best time to book our holiday travel. Fall color season is likely late this year, and a politician is taking a stand against, wait for it, mid-flight flatulence. We have details in our Febreze news update next.
Car sharing, flight delays, and airline water are all featured as we make you a smarter traveler at 320.
Last week, we told you how some hotels on the Vegas Strip were adding venue fees to patrons' bar bills. Devin O'Connor from Casino.org is here at 335 to give us the scoop.
And then wrapping up the show at 355 is a fairly unique interview. Most people wouldn't think of cemeteries would be a tourist attraction, and generally you would be right, but we found an exception.
Thanks for finding your way to 93.1 or 1530 on the dial. Welcome to the latest edition of The Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I've got two tickets to paradise.
North to Alaska. I go north to Russia's own.
Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, we are the Travel and Entertainment Guys every Sunday, 3 to 4, right here at 93.1 FM and at 1530 AM at KFBK. Thanks for joining us. We're brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And here we go. Got a great show ahead. Mark, good to see you again. Last week when we spoke about this time, you had just finished up your catalog tour preview day, and it's been a week since then. People signing up for anything this time around?
Yeah, gosh, what a wonderful thing to be the owner of a small tour company and have such a wonderful group of customers as we do at Sports Leisure Vacations. We broke all sales records on Monday morning from our preview day on Saturday. As I say this, as people hear this, it's probably likely that some of the folks who are members of our group who weren't at the big event have received their catalogs in the mail. A few things have already filled up, but there are seats available on a lot of things. But anyway, thank you for the incredibly overwhelming response. And thanks to my staff for all of the hard work that they had to put in before the event and then after the event, too, thanks to the business that followed. Hey, how about our local baseball team?
You mean those Sacramento River Kitties?
Well, yeah. River Kitties is a good thing because literally the guys they played all season with, most of them went up to the Giants at the end of the season, so they went through the playoffs with most of the Double-A team and still won. So that's pretty impressive. They had, 300-and-something player transactions this year? They must have had the Giants must have a frequent passenger account with Amtrak to get guys back and forth on the train. It happens so often. But that's a pretty big deal to be the champion of the whole AAA baseball. I think that's...
Absolutely.
You know, it may not be major leagues. It's a step down. But darn it, I think it's pretty darn amazing. And then we are a travel show after all, but we'll get to that in just a second. They get to Boston, and none other than Carl Yastrzemski credits the staff of the Rivercats with helping straighten out his grandson's swing earlier this year and helped him get to the major leagues. And then there he was in Boston last week, another Yastrzemski hitting a home run in Fenway Park. Was that an incredible moment or what?
Outstanding.
I think it's just pretty cool. The fans supported them all year long, and the Giants certainly didn't have that kind of season, a championship season, so our own boys did. So not speaking of travel yet, but boy, it's been a mess down in San Francisco with the closed runway and everything. But the good news is,
yeah,
back to normal.
All right,
they're done a little bit early, so it's now safe to stick your head up and fly from Sacramento to San Francisco. Only for the time that they were working on the runways, only about half the flights from Sacramento to San Francisco or vice versa made it. They cut out a couple of them a day to start with, and then a lot of them weren't making it anyway. So, folks, if you're flying in and out of San Francisco this coming week, the catastrophe should be over, and perhaps things will be. San Francisco is tough enough on a normal day at a runway out of commission. And so good news to folks if you're flying out of SFO. And gosh, I got into the travel news before we even started.
There you go. And that's what we do at the top of each Travel Guy show. If you're just joining us for the first time, we take a moment to bring you up to date on the travel news. By the way, go to TravelGuysRadio.com. A lot of what we talk about and links to who we talk with here on the program can be found there. So let's get to it and find out what's going on in today's travel news. Mark, what do you got?
Well, most important thing first here, Area 51. If you remember online, Tom, some folks said, hey, let's all go out to Area 51 and storm the place.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, it's a top secret government military agency, and going into places like that could get you into a lot of trouble. The little town of Rachel is the closest to Area 51. There's about 150 people who live there. There's only one business, a little restaurant and motel. And, of course, the towns around it are no bigger, and so they were a little bit afraid. About 2 hours north of Las Vegas, and they were a little worried. But on Friday, a few hundred people showed up, and a few of them actually tried to get in the gate. One lady momentarily got inside and was detained and then released later. And a few hundred more folks showed up as we got into the weekend. But what some people were afraid, because there's very limited access there. You know, the roads and places to eat, gas stations, things like that. And you have these people coming out into the desert who don't do their homework and have no idea what they're doing. But anyways, fortunately, the whole alien thing has perhaps blown over, maybe for now.
Well, I'll tell you, I think the government and people that are down there, they just didn't know how many were going to show up. They thought it was going to get crazy. I'm glad it didn't.
Well, and they've got a couple festivals going on down there this weekend, probably wrapping up about now, but alien festivals and the like. It all sounds like good fun, and it probably would be a good thing. The challenge is, you'd say, well, wouldn't those remote areas love to have people come there and visit them? And the answer would be, well, kind of, sort of, a few at a time. But they don't have campgrounds or, you know, hotels with more than a few rooms or any kind of facilities. Like I said, gas stations are hard to come by. So it's not really designed to be able to accommodate more than 30 or 40 or 50 people at a time, let alone hundreds or what could have been thousands. So AAA has told us the best time to book our flights for Thanksgiving and Christmas holidays. They say based on the data over the last 3 years, that September the 25th was the date that they decided that most people started to get really serious about booking things for the holidays. So if you've got just a couple days left, today's the 22nd. So if AAA holds through, you've got today, tomorrow, and Tuesday to look up, figure out what the best fare is before the rest of the public starts to yawn, get out of their sleep, and be your competition for holiday airfares. And another trick is, if you miss out on good fares and you have to get someplace for the holiday, try flying on Thanksgiving or on Christmas.
Right.
Or returning home on Thanksgiving or on Christmas. That sometimes will get you a little bit better fare.
And if you fly on Thanksgiving Day and you're not there, you don't have to, you probably won't have to do anything but show up and eat. You go the night before, and then somebody's going to give you, you know, you're going to be peeling potatoes or something, you know. So the best thing to do.
What a great travel tip that is.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, it's a win-win.
Plus, you're the star of the show.
There you go.
all right. From the headlines here, and maybe a couple people stayed around to hear, what the heck is he talking about? The headline says, politician taking stand against mid-flight flatulence. Although the headline does not use the word flatulence, it uses a different word that can sometimes be substituted for flatulence. This is a politician in Africa, is taking a stand against flatulence on planes by asking for new protocols to stop the offending passengers. This gentleman addressed a Kenyan parliamentary debate last Wednesday and expressed concern with passengers passing gas during long-haul flights. The lady expressed her concern against passengers passing gas during long-haul flights and the impact it has on other people on board. Quote, there is one irritant that is often ignored, and this is the level of flatulence within the aircraft. Doctor, and get this, this is great. The last doctor's last name is Gogo. you can't make this up.
Oh, boy.
So they had a whole session The doctor says it could become a threat. Passing gas could be a threat to security, since passengers will become angrier with each other due to offensive smell, which could result in physical and verbal altercations. Well, I certainly wouldn't disagree with that, but that's...
Well, you know, it's the thing is you can get upset over that, but it's oftentimes really, really difficult to pinpoint where the flatulent came from. How do you know who to be angry with? You know, you're going to swat somebody upside up on the top of the head, and you don't even know where it, you know, it. I don't know what to tell you.
That's okay, Tom. I'll try and bring us out of this rabbit hole before.
Please, we got other business to
before
take
the
care.
FCC comes in and arrests us. No, I had to look twice when I saw that. All right, this is for our next segment. This is kind of interesting. Nearly all airline customer service agents report harassment on the job. The Government Accountability Office published a finding on Tuesday, which says that 70%. Of gate agents that work for airlines say that they have been severely harassed by customers. I just would like to just throw something in here, a couple things, actually. The reason they're getting harassed so much is because they work for companies that screw the heck out of people all the time. And so by the time the passenger gets to the gate, they're angry, and the only person to take that anger out is that poor man or lady who's at the gate to get you checked in and get you on your way. Let me just suggest a couple things, though. If you have any kind of issue or any kind of problems and you're at the gate and you get angry with the person at the gate, you're going to go to the back of the line. You're not going to get any help at all. So really and truly, try to refrain from being angry with the person at the gate, particularly if it's something that's not their fault, because if you're asking them for some help, or ultimately through your anger, there's something that you want out of it, you're not going to get anything if you stand there and berate the person, because these people get this all day, every day, and that's what this survey kind of proves. And if you take the reverse tack and try being nice to the person at the gate, Lord knows what positive thing could happen.
There you go.
So you might just want to give that a shot. It's just a thought. Weather is expected to delay the fall foliage season. The latest 8 to 14 day outlook from NOAA says that parts of the Northeast, Southeast, Rockies, and the West have at least a 50-50 odds of warmer than average temperatures over the next 10 days or so, and that means that fall colors will be delayed because, of course, as folks from the West Coast don't always know, it has to get cold for the colors to change, the leaves to change color, and a lot of times people go from the West Coast to visit the East, and they're like, well, it's cold here. Well, of course it's cold here. It wouldn't be fall. The leaves wouldn't have color if it was still 80 degrees outside. And that's your travel news for today.
And we are the Travel Guys. Again, follow along at travelguysradio.com. Time to make you a smarter traveler after we take a short break. What particular area of smart travel are we going to attack today, Mark?
Well, Tom, we're going to talk a little bit about water on airplanes. That's kind of important. A little bit about car sharing here. And maybe a couple other subjects if we can cram them in when we come back after the break.
Put on my blue suede shoes and I boarded the plane. Touchdown in the land of the Delta Blues, in the middle of the pouring rain. WC Handy, won't you look down over me? Yeah, I got a first.
If you're just joining us, we are the Travel and Entertainment Guys. I'm Tom Romano, that's Mark Hoffman, and we're brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And Mark, what do you have for us?
Well, we've got a couple things here, Tom, kind of some odds and ends. And instead of one topic, I thought I'd share a few little tips here. A study came back this week that talked about airline water. We see this every 3, 4, 5 years, and I'm not the first person to tell people, be very careful about drinking water on an airplane. Now, most of the water that's poured, you know, you ask for a cup of ice water on a plane, that generally comes directly out of a bottle. So oftentimes it's poured right in front of you. So you can see many times the flight attendants are opening the bottles in front of you. So there's no question there that water is safe. What we're talking about is water that's stored on the airplane. And in many cases, many airlines are still using water that's stored on the plane in tanks to make things like coffee and tea. So this survey, which comes back, and different airlines did, you know, it's really not worth breaking them all down, although I will tell you the two airlines currently that fly to Hawaii, Alaska and Hawaiian, did very well. They had the least number of violations. United Airlines had the most number of violations. However, you have to be careful about numbers here because of the different sizes of fleets. So Hawaiian obviously has a smaller fleet than United does. So you'd have to check and see, you know, violations per number of aircraft or something. But here's the deal. Never drink water on board that isn't in a sealed bottle. Do not drink coffee or tea on board an airplane. You have no idea where that water came from. The tanks and stuff that they're stored in are only required in most cases to be cleaned once every 3 months. So I just have to ask you, would you drink water at home out of something that was only cleaned every 3 months? What about ice? Ice is not really addressed in this survey. In many cases, ice is brought onto planes in bags. And the flight attendants serve directly from the bags. So if I knew that the ice was coming out of a place, you know, if I could see it was coming out of a bag. But if the flight attendant took the ice and poured it all into one of those holding tanks and then was scooping it out of there, why, then that would be a no-no. And listen, if you're a regular traveler, you know that, you know, 24, 48 hours, travelers' diseases are hard enough, are tough enough on the body that you don't need any help. So
right.
Not to be a germaphobe here.
Yeah.
But you're a little pickier than I am, Thomas, so, you know.
Well, you know, a lot of people drink, you know, you brought it up, a lot of people have coffee, particularly if they got early morning flights, they didn't get enough before they got on the plane. So I see a lot of people ordering coffee, and then you hear again, you don't know where the water that came from that made that coffee. And most, if you order a cocktail, you're almost always going to get ice unless it's a bottle of beer.
And, of course, airlines are very aware of all of this. I mean, they know. And when the first study about this came out a few years ago, many of them followed up by saying, look, you know, this is the way we handle water on our planes, and this is why we're serving it out of plastic bottles and stuff. But, of course, as we all become more aware of the fact that plastic bottles are one of the things that are ruining our planet, and we all try to figure out ways that we can get through life with a minimum usage of or reusage of plastic water bottles. So, you know, puts pressure on everybody. And but let's make sure that the airlines keep things safe. But for now, coffee and tea on an airline, I would just say to you, I would pass. Go early enough to get your Starbucks and bring it on the plane with you. Car sharing has become a popular thing. There are rental car sharing companies. There's also a company, a couple of them, one of them called Zipcar, where you can rent cars like by the hour. This is especially popular in San Francisco. You'll find Zipcars located all over town, and you can get in one and take off and ride it for a couple of hours. Just make sure if you're using an hourly rental car, keep in mind that the late fees are really, really high. The grace periods are 15 to 30 minutes usually, and you can be charged up to $50 for a car that's even a few minutes past the grace period. So be very careful about that. Also, be careful where you park those cars that you're sharing. If it's parked in an illegal spot, you're going to get a ticket. If that car sits there for a couple days, it could get three or four tickets. And guess who will be responsible for all of them? So,
good point.
Keep an eye on that. We've talked about sharing, using a rental car sharing. Sharing economy type concept and Turo and using other people's rental cars. And I really, for lots of reasons, kind of advise against that. But the car sharing idea of using a commercial rental car for a couple of hours is fine. Just keep in mind that the rules are quite different on hourly car rentals that you're picking up in a city and dropping off, as opposed to daily car rentals that where you might you know, be picking a car up at the airport or something like that. The rules are a lot different, so make sure that you know how to play the game before you get into it. Here's kind of an interesting thing. I saw this because of all the problems there have been at San Francisco with the runway closure the last couple weeks while they resurfaced it. Airlines ultimately control a lot of what flights leave and return, and which flights go on time and which flights are delayed. Let me explain to you. In San Francisco, let's say United in a 2-hour period has 80 slots. So 40 United planes can take off and 40 United planes can land in a two-hour period. And let's say that normally it's 60. So in each direction. But the FAA says, hey, the ceiling's low today. You can only have two-thirds in the next couple hours. Only two-thirds of your aircraft are going to be in here. Now, the one that's coming from Australia, it's been in the air for 14 hours, so it's going to have to land. And the one from Hawaii and et cetera. But the one from Sacramento, maybe we just don't let it go in the sky yet. So it's not always the FAA that makes these determinations. It's the airline in many cases who decides which flight goes and which flight doesn't. And sometimes those decisions are made, yes, based on the fact that this is a big plane with 36 first class seats and 30 people paid to be on there. And there are a lot of high ranked flyers. This flight has to go on time. Or there's a flight out of a small airport. And they can look at it and see that 27 of the 40 people on the plane have connections within 45 minutes of landing. It's the last flight of the day. Four of these people are connecting international. That flight gets bumped up. So in many cases, it's the people on the plane, where they're going, and how much revenue they represent to the airline that ultimately plays a role in deciding which flights get to go and which flights have to wait for to be released, quote, released by the airport.
Wow, that's some real inside information. I think most of us, and myself at the top of the list, would have never put those two pieces together.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. And also, we tell people take flights early in the morning. Flights are less likely to be delayed by weather and air traffic control and things like that. Things like the runway in San Francisco over the last couple of weeks, that's been an anomaly. But generally, short flights, flights from smaller airports, and flights that run very frequently are the most likely to be delayed. So there's a few little things to maybe make you a little bit smarter traveler.
Outstanding. We are the Travel Guys, by the way, again, at TravelGuysRadio.com. Some of the stuff that Mark has talked about in the travel news, you can find links to there. And you'll find a link to Casino.org. When we return, we're going to visit with Devin O'Connor. Devin's with Casino.org. We're going to talk about those more than pesky venue fees that seem to be popping up in Vegas. That's next on the Travel Guys. Hey there, Tom Romano along with Mark Hoffman. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys on KFBK, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Don't forget now, links to our guests can be found at TravelGuysRadio.com. We talked about this last week and promised to bring an expert, or at least somebody who is kind of on the inside, and see if we can get some answers as to why this is going on. Devin O'Connor with Casino.org is our guest. Mark, why don't you tell us a little bit about Devin before we get started?
Well, yeah, a little bit of background. Devin reported about 10 days ago that the casinos on the Strip, that some of them were charging a venue fee in some of the bars, restaurants, etc. on the Strip. And we all thought that was kind of strange. We're gotten used to bogus add-on charges that are incredibly creative. The resort fees that have become urban destination fees and all kinds of things, like all kinds of cash grabs. And of course, Vegas is kind of known for that kind of stuff. But Devin, this seems to be kind of beyond the pale here. Explain to us a little bit about what you know about venue fees for beverages on the Strip in Vegas. And welcome to the Travel Guys, by the way.
Thanks a lot. It's great to be here. I really appreciate having the chance to weigh in on the latest money grab here. In this one, it seems to be the straw that's taking the camel's back here. We have some guests reaching out to us at casino.org recently, informing us that they are now being forced to pay mandatory charges on their cocktails. And MGM, the largest owner of casinos on the Las Vegas Strip, says these are simply venue charges that help them keep up with the gaming maintenance on their machines and the bar top lounges, as well as for such great amenities as Wi-Fi. For anyone that's been to Vegas recently knows the resort fees that are now as high as $45 a day at luxury properties are supposed to be covering Wi-Fi. So now we're being charged twice to access the internet through Wi-Fi.
Does it strike you as a little unusual that a casino would give us an answer for charging a fee? Well, that's to help maintain the facility and to maintain the gaming machines that are in the facility. And I don't know, maybe it's just, maybe I'm crazy, but those seem like costs of doing business that you would fold into your business plan and not surcharge your customers on top of that. Am I just losing my mind, or does that...
No, you're exactly right. It makes little sense. The individual that first reached out to us and on Twitter, he messaged MGM. Park MGM is where this first occurred. And he reached out to MGM for explanation. They told him that it's for the gaming and lounge maintenance and Wi-Fi. And he said, well, I already paid a resort fee. And he followed up again with MGM, and they actually blocked him on Facebook Messenger for a few days. He couldn't get a hold of them. Finally, they accepted his message again and offered him a $50 credit for the next time he's in town. This has obviously caused quite an outrage on social media. And I mean, we're talking about this man's bar tab was $38 for two drinks. He paid $3 in sales tax and then a $1.90 venue charge. So we're talking about less than $2, but it's the right point that people are just tired of getting their pockets picked while in Vegas and already paying $18 a cocktail. It's not, as you said, Mark, you would think that would be more than enough to cover some Wi-Fi and the gaming maintenance, which are already heavily stacked in the house's favor.
I have to ask you, Devin, I need to understand. I know when you go to the casinos, if you're playing cards or if you're sitting at the bar and you're playing one of the slot machines or card machines there, your drinks are free. So these taxes are coming on for anybody that isn't playing or if you go to a show. Kind of explain.
Well, if you're on the main casino floor playing slot machines and table games, yeah, you can, you're going to find some free drinks. It's becoming less abundant. It used to be, all you had to do was walk onto a casino floor back in the good days, and you were handed a cocktail. Those days are long gone, as these casinos are pinching money. So this is happening in bars, and it doesn't matter if you are throwing a few dollars into the bar top gaming machine. You're not going to be afforded free drinks there too often, unless you're going to be sitting there and making a marathon out of it. So this is happening in the bars, in the restaurants. And not on the casino floor per se, but next to them.
So we've had a few days, Devin, since this originally hit. Has there been any follow up? Are other folks complaining? Has there been any other pushback? Where does this go from here? I mean, is it something that the casinos are going to be able to get away with, or will pushback ultimately from consumers perhaps cause them to reconsider this?
I think that's probably the most shocking part of this whole story right now. Is the we've had little comment from anyone out there. Caesars has told us they have no plans to place any such charge, a drink charge. But MGM is always the first to reach out to me when I write an article that isn't just glowing of their operations in Las Vegas. And I've reached out to them repeatedly for explanation on this, and can't get a word out of them. A dying question I have is, let's say I'm staying at Park MGM. I'm already paying a $38 resort fee, which is supposed to be covering my Wi-Fi and boarding pass printing and local calls, which are so nice because I don't have a cell phone.
Right, exactly. Those are incredibly valuable services, and certainly no one would object to paying $38 a day for things like that.
No, of course not. No, value received. But so my question is, if I do go down to the lounge and have a cocktail, do I have to pay this venue fee? I'm already paying a resort fee, which is the same thing as a venue fee, and I cannot get an explanation or a definitive answer on that.
And they stonewalled the guy who brought it to the public. They basically paid him off for $50.
They did. Yes, exactly. One of my good friends, he runs probably the biggest blog out in Vegas, Vital Vegas. And Scott is saying this is really a communication problem we're having with the casinos right now. Resort fees keep sneaking up in price with little explanation. I actually reported a story back in the summer about Bellagio going to $45 a day, and I was immediately contacted by MGM. They said that is not true. There are no plans to do that. Please take the article down. They said we will circle back if that is the change. Of course, they did not circle back, and August 1st, I went onto the website, checked, and indeed the resort fee was hiked up to $45. at that time, they did reach out after they saw my latest article and said, well, it's just to fall in line with the other luxury properties, the Venetian, Palazzo, and Wynn. So this seems to be, they're doing everything they can to kind of slide in a little extra charge here or there to improve their bottom lines. And as we all know, give the money to the investors and shareholders who are closely monitoring the gaming industry.
Well, and Tom, you're a guy who enjoys spending some time in Las Vegas every once in a while. I mean, I wouldn't call you certainly a big-time gambler, but you enjoy that kind of entertainment. What is the public's limit? What is your limit? I mean, you're $45 resort fees and taxes, extra taxes on drinks and bars. And well, I mean, at what point in time do you just say, screw it, and go to Thunder Valley?
You know, you hit the nail right on the head. The fact that the Indian casinos have always charged you for drinks, you get nothing free. The fact that they're in your backyard, and at the end of the day, you can come home and sleep in your bed. And the gaming is becoming more and more exactly the same. The slot machines are the same. Blackjack's the same. There's only a few games that are different. And what's happening is Vegas is making themselves less and less attractive. Obviously, if you're going for the shows and the glitz, you got to go to Vegas. You're not going to get that at Thunder Valley, Red Hawk, or Cache Creek, or any of the others. They do have their shows and so forth, but the Vegas experience is a Vegas experience. It's becoming less and less appealing.
We're talking with Devin O'Connor. Devin is with Casino.org here on the Travel Guys today, and we're talking specifically about this new issue that has come up in Las Vegas about adding a venue tax on drinks in some of the casinos. And as Devin has pointed out here, one tends to follow the other. So if somebody gets away with raising a resort fee or adding a surcharge of some type, all of the casinos didn't start charging for parking on the same day, which brings up an interesting question. Devin, I've heard that some casinos are now not charging for what I would term short-term parking. And if you're coming in on the strip and you want to play for an hour or two or something, that you can get out of the parking charge. Do you know anything about the casinos being a little looser on the parking fees, which was another one of their more recent inventions?
Right. I do. And that's why I believe while this venue charge on drinks, we're only seeing it currently at Park MGM and as well as the Sahara, the old SLS Las Vegas. The dangerous precedent here is that MGM, again, is the biggest operator on the Strip, and they tend to lead the curve. They were the first ones to eliminate free parking in 2016, and that was a perk, no matter what tier level you were, was afforded to all guests for decades. And that changed in 2016. Caesars followed, then Wynn followed. To answer your question, yes, there is once again free parking on the Strip, both short-term and long-term, including valet. The Venetian Palazzo, they never ended their free parking and valet amenity. And currently, MGM and Caesars still are charging. But Wynn, as of May 1st, restored free parking, and now, as of this week, they're bringing back free valet parking as well.
Where is the most gambler-friendly place to visit in Vegas if you're going to go and play?
Well, consumer-friendly, I would say you'd be hard-pressed to argue against downtown. Downtown is still has lower resort fees, cheaper drinks, but of course it's not the glitz and glamour of the Strip. The free parking elimination was huge, right? I mean, this really rattled up the industry. The tourists were very upset. There's just something about pulling up to a casino and getting out in a valet that makes you feel like $1 million, even if you don't have $100. It was just something that made you feel good. And when that was taken away, it really gave Vegas kind of a bad, we're really here just for your money, not to make you feel good anymore. Not even as you arrive. So when bringing back valet parking, free parking, and again, it's still available at Palazzo, Venetian, Treasure Island. I'm hoping, and we've had a lot of comments from people saying this isn't just a small win, this is a big win. And hopefully this slowly gets the trend going back towards the consumer in Las Vegas.
It seems a little bit out of desperation to me. I mean, it's just kind of, it's like, let's add this fee, let's add this, let's add that. I guess
right.
That's the corporate world. Push the envelope, see what you can do, see if you can get the customers to pay some of the costs of doing business. If you can offload some of that on them, why, you can certainly increase the bottom line. So Vegas
sure.
has never been known to be giving out $20 bills for free on the strip. So I guess that folks like Tom, put a few more dollars in your pocket before you head there, Tom, or like you said, just well, or just find a more user-friendly place closer to home, save the airfare and all the hassle,
right.
And if enough people do that, why, then perhaps that'll make a change. Devin, stay in touch with us down the road. Lots of folks in Sacramento go to Las Vegas, so we'd love to have you be a regular feature on the program.
That's great. Thanks. I really appreciate it. Could I add one more thing?
Sure, absolutely.
A real big sticking point, I think, for the community right now, and this has locals angered, outrage as well, is we're approaching the two-year anniversary of the deadliest mass shooting in Vegas. And at the time, the Visitors Authority, they produced a campaign saying, we've been there for you during the good times, be there for us now. And this all these parking, the parking increases, the resort fee increases, this all came post October 1st, 2017. And it's really starting to really rub people the wrong way that are trying to continue to support Las Vegas, and they don't feel they're being welcome to do so. And I think it's a point that's just really hasn't been stressed enough in our opinion.
Well, there you go. It's a two-way street, and perhaps the traffic is only flowing in one direction in Las Vegas. Very well put, Devin. Yep. Thank you for your time.
Yep. Thanks a lot.
Devin O'Connor with Ocasino.org. We'll put a link to his website on ours at TravelGuysRadio.com. So if you'd like to know a little bit more about what their website offers and what Devin is writing about, you can go there. Talk to you again soon, Devin. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Take care.
Well, that was fascinating. I the whole Las Vegas thing and how it works, and Tom, you're a guy, you go down there pretty frequently. I mean, you get the bug every once in a while. And
well, I try to.
Is something like this going to be able to stick?
Yeah, I try to make at least 2-3 trips a year to Vegas. You know, I mean, there are a lot of people that go more often than I do, and they're the ones that are going to suffer the worst. You know, it's like anything, Mark, and I think as we just discussed, and we're finding out that, you know, the parking fees thing was not very popular, and it starts impacting the bottom line, and then they got to pull it back. You know, I've always felt that special places that have casinos in Vegas, Tahoe, Reno, they've always done their best to try to make it as inexpensive for you to go, for you to stay, for you to drink and spend time, because they want to keep you gambling. You know, that's where their profit margin is.
Right.
And if they mess with it too much and people don't want to go because they're being nickeled and dimed to death with resort fees and so forth. You know, at one time, in regards to wanting to be a pure gambler, Nevada was it. But that's no longer the case. So I think they need to keep an eye on what they're doing. And I think just like the parking fees, I think a lot of this incidental fees will be reversed.
Ah, okay. Well, and I won't disagree with you there. Of course, the casinos, I think, you know, in the old days when they had the show to themselves, and they didn't have to compete with the guy down the block, the Native American casinos that are all over the place now. They could kind of make the rules, and you're right. People came and they gambled. My suspicion is now, and sir, I haven't seen anything lately, but I saw one a number of years ago, but my suspicion is a greater number of people are going to places like Vegas and not doing serious gambling.
Yeah.
So those people, how do they make money off of those people? Well, you have restaurants and you have shops and you have, you know, all of these other diversions, attractions and things, you know, ghost hunts and big digs and all of those other things. But at the end of the day, it's still in the middle of the desert. It's a gambling venue. I mean, as much as anything.
Yeah, that's what drives it mostly.
I
mean,
I think so.
Love the shows, and they're expensive, but and certainly you can't see those kind of venues where a show has its own auditorium and everything is set up specifically for it, and that's why it's the best.
I just think it takes an incredible amount of nerve and gall for a casino to make a public statement that says that the reason we're charging the surcharge is so we can afford to fix the gambling machines that you lose money on and to be able to clean up the bar at night after you've been here. And I'm thinking to myself, and the $18 you charge for the drink won't cover that? So I don't know. Maybe I'm just a cynical old guy or something like that. All right, tell us what's coming up next.
All right, coming up, I spent a few minutes with Monty Layton. He's the funeral director at Mount Vernon. And, you know, you've got automobile insurance and you've got, of course, travel insurance available. But how about insurance that might protect you if something really horrible happened and maybe you passed away or a family member passed away and you're in a foreign country? You know what the cost would be to try to get you home? Well, we're going to talk about an insurance policy that can make that incredibly inexpensive for you. And that's next here on The Travel Guys.
Hold on to me as we go.
Hi there, Tom Romano and Mark Hoffman. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And we talked about this a few years back, and I thought it was time to revisit. And simply because I had the opportunity to run across the funeral director for Mount Vernon Memorial Park. His name is Monty Layton. Monty, thanks for joining us here on The Travel Guys.
Thanks for having me.
You know, when we visited before with someone from your department, we talked about a really unique program. But it really, really is important for people, and that is what happens. You're traveling, you know, you're out of the country, or maybe somewhere in this country, and tragically something happens to you or a loved one, and someone passes away. Now, trying to get a body home for a funeral arrangements and so forth can be pretty pricey. Now, I understand that Mount Vernon has put together a program a few years ago, and I want you to bring us up to date as to how that works and how it benefits our listeners that are travelers.
It's called our Transportation Relocation Program, and what happens if you should pass any place 75 miles away from home, we'll bring you back. You could be across the country, you could be on a cruise ship, you could be hanging out, walking the Great Wall of China, or scuba diving in Hawaii or Australia, and we would bring you back. We would negotiate everything with the consulates, the embassies, the casket, and the flight, everything. And it's a one-time fee, and here's the kicker. You can only use it once. But if you're on a cruise ship, sometimes they'll just bring you back to the closest port. But what we would do is we would pick you up, we would bring you back and get you home. And just with one call, our team goes into action, and it fully protects the family. The neat thing about that is you don't have to buy travel insurance all the time. You just buy it once from us, and for subsequent trips, you can mark decline and you can run with what we've got.
Basically, it's if you will, it's good for life.
Yeah.
Are there any restrictions?
No war zones, so no trips to Iraq or Afghanistan, any place the State Department has ruled it's not safe to travel, but other than that, you're good to go.
And Monty, what kind of a price tag is on something like this?
One-time fee of $4.99. That's before discounts, but often we offer some discounts and we can drop that down.
$4.99?
No, $499.
Okay.
But compared to the cost, and we've seen it run in the thousands.
Oh, I would imagine.
To bring people, especially internationally. It's a one-time fee, and one time, and you get a card, put it in your wallet, pack it with you ever, wherever you go, and you're good to go.
I'm with Monty Layton with Mount Vernon Memorial Park, and we're talking about a special program. What's it called again?
Transportation and Relocation Plan.
And Monty, do people need to come to Mount Vernon Memorial Park to do this? Can they go to your website and take a look at how that works?
Actually, you can call any one of our 10 locations in the greater Sacramento area in the Dignity Memorial Network. In any of our places, we'll be more than happy to help you out.
Outstanding. Thank you, Monty, for spending a little bit of time with the Travel Guys.
Appreciate it.
A transportation relocation plan. the ultimate cemetery visit, the place where you're ending up, a transportation relocation plan. Boy, I've heard a lot of things in my time, Tom, but that is the best description I've ever heard for you're gone and we have to get you back to where we're going to put you.
Well, he probably spent a lot of time, you know, they knew what the program was going to be about.
Uh-huh.
And then came the task of trying to name it.
Well, listen, this happens. I mean, people travel and they sometimes don't make it home. So it's
a lot.
You know, I mean, and it's very expensive. I mean, when that happens to you, it's very expensive. All right. Anyway, so much for that. Thanks for the good information and the good interview. We will be back next week at 3. Just remember what we say all the time, and that is dance like nobody's watching.
Okay, my friends, don't forget, visit us at travelguysradio.com. And when you're not home and you want to tune in the Travel Guys, don't forget you can always find us on iHeartRadio. Just look up KFBK and we'll be there. All right. See you next time. Stay well, my friends.